So we're up to the close to the top of Tessim and Basin in Yaakov, Shemascha Le'el. Today's in Yaakov starts a new subject. The Gemara around there is talking about the Sanhedrin, so now we're related to it. It starts talking about David HaMelech, and it mentions how they'd ask the Sanhedrin for permission to go to war, demonstrating. So the Gemara starts. Then Yaakov starts. Says, there is a harp hanging above David's bed. When came midnight, a north wind blew at it, and started playing by itself. Rav Haigoin explains that was some kind of mechanical contraption that David HaMelech made to wake himself up come midnight. Elsewhere in Maseches Brachos, the Gemara says that David HaMelech didn't actually sleep the first half of the night. He just kind of like dozed off. He like alternated learning and dozing. Versus the second half of the night, he was wide awake like a lion. So, over here, Eretz focusing on that second half. The second half, after the harp would play, and he'd jump up and go fully into Torah. Tabin Yada actually explains this interestingly. The Kinar is the letters Kaf Vav Ner. The Kaf Vav is the Gematria of Yudkei Vavkei. Hashem, the Shem Hashem, Shem Avaya, in the Torah learning that David HaMelech learned, when a Yid that learns Torah, it creates a Malach, a Pai. A certain Madriga, the Tzaddik can communicate with the Malach and even learn from it. For example, the Rav Yitzchak Kaira, the Mechaber, he had a Malach, the Magid, who he learned with. That Malach was created from his Torah study, and he would learn with that Malach. And the whole Sefer that he wrote about what he studied with that Malach. So David HaMelech, his quote-unquote kinner was the Malach, was this Malach that would wake him up and remind him that it's time to learn. And then he'd wake up and learn. And Miyada Hayadavid Isaac Emed Vaitim Tara. Immediately upon hearing this harp or this malach, David would wake up and learn. Ad Sha'ala Madashachar, until dawn came. And Kim and Sha'ala Madashachar, once the first light comes, Nichlisu Chachmei Tzal Eslai. The Chachamim came in to him. The Chachamim saw that it's very early in the morning. David HaMelech says, "Ani v'tzedek ech lepanecha, I with tzedakah will see your face." So the Chachamim said to themselves, "If David's giving tzedakah early in the morning, let's come in now to ask for tzedakah." Amrulai, and indeed it told him, Adnei HaMelech, our master, king, Amcha Yisrael Zichon L'Farnasa, your nation, the Jews, need a sustenance. So Amrulahen, he told them, L'chuvin Nisparnes Yizem Yizeh, go give each other. The rich among you should give to the poor, and I'll I'm included in the rich, and I'll give to the poor. But, you're saying, I can't give, I don't have enough to give to everyone. My treasury is being saved up for the Beit HaMikdash, so I can't give to everyone. But I'll give my share. The other rich among Jews will give their share, and everyone will make it. So Amrulai, however, they told him, "Ein akemis mespias ari." A small portion is not enough to fill a lion. Ein abar mesmal mechliyosei. And a pit cannot be filled from its own walls. The Menachemim are compared to a lion. They require food and they won't have enough. And the Amiyars are compared to a pit, which also they won't have enough. So, What should we do in that case? So Amalehem, he told them, L'chu fishti yideichem b'gdud. Go, put out your hands in spoils. The Ben Yehuda explains on this, that at gdud, the spoil, Good is an unusual term. It could have said it as put our hands out in war, the Muhammad. He's saying good because good is big matchy a taiv. So taiv in taiv el taira. And similarly, one moment. Similarly, l'chu fish to yedechem, Ben Yehuda's gersa of l'chu fish to, go and put out your hands in the spoils, that is Rosh Tevis Levi. L'chu fish to yedechem. The Levi'im were in charge of the Avodah in the Beit HaMikdash. Of the Kohanim and Levi'im. So the power of the Avodah and the power of Torah will give enough that now the Gemilas Chasadim, the third pillar, can and work. He's saying it's to his people then, and he's teaching a lesson for future. That's a there's three pillars upon which we'll stand, Torah and Gemilas Chasadim. It's going to help that they're going to have spoil, that they're going to have what they need in order to be able to, dispose of war. That if we want to want money for ourselves and to give tzedakah and to give money, Torah and Avodah, the first two pillars bring to the third pillar. So, Miyada, immediately, Yeyatim Bachataifel, they would go to ask advice from Achataifel, Nimlachim the Sanhedrin, and they'd ask the Sanhedrin, Misharlin Ba'arim Batomim, and they'd ask the Arim Batomim. Those were the three steps that they did before going to war. They'd ask Achataifel, he was a genius on the level that the Gemara said that asking him was like asking the Arim Batomim, because he knew the answer to anything, and he was always right. The Urim V'Tumim is the asking the Sanhedrin is asking the Chachamim, and asking the Urim V'Tumim is we had someone who's like the Urim V'Tumim, but at the end of the day, he's not Hashem. You ask Hashem. Similarly, these are the steps to success in our general life. When we have something new that we're doing, we ask the experts in the field, and they give a layout of what to do. Then you ask Rabbanim to make sure that the steps that you're doing aren't going to be over halacha, because presumably, like a general outline, of what you're doing is not going to be over halacha. or else you wouldn't be trying to do it in the first place. But now that you have the specifics, now that you have a better idea of what you're doing, things takes talking to experts. Now we talk it over with the Rabbanim to figure out the details. And once you now have the plan of what to do, you dive into Hashem to make sure that it actually comes with success. So, Amar Rav Yosef, Mikra, what's the pasuk that shows that they did it in this order? So, the proof is the pasuk says, V'achrei Achitofel, after Achitofel, B'nyo ben Yoyada, Rav Yosar, V'sar Tzva al-Malach, Lamalach Yoyav. After Achitofel was B'nyo ben Yoyada, and Rav Yosar, and the a general of the king's army, Yoyav. So Achitofel, oh, the Yoyav. Achitofel was for advice. And so the pasuk says, as advice Achitofel gave, Ben Yehuda was leader of the Sanhedrin. So that's how that's after Achitofel, they go to Ben Yehuda. And Avyasar being the Kohen Gadol, Eli Urim V'Tumim. After Urim V'Tumim. Mechachu Eimer, such it says, Avinyah Ben Yehuda, Ala Kreisi V'Ala Fleiti. And Ben Yehuda, in other words, before the Kreisi or Fleiti. So, what's these names mean? Crazy is a curse in Devarim. Crazy is from the word karas. They established their words like a clean slice that establishes and it is clear and established. Crazy is a mitzvah in Masayin, and crazy that's their ways were wondrous. Sorry, crazy flaky is the Sanhedrin. Ben Yehuda was in charge of the Sanhedrin. And because of crazy flaky, that the Chachamim established a word like sharp knife and flaky because they say wondrous things. Also, in this Masechta, in fact, the Gemara says that to be in the Sanhedrin, and it requires tremendous skills, even being able to say about a sheretz that they have to be able to prove minatayra that a sheretz is tamer in order to be on the Sanhedrin. So it has to be pretty wondrous to be able to prove minatayra that what's as tamer is talk. The Vachach Tatzval Melch Yayav. And afterwards, there came the general Yayav. So that was the order. In other words, war. And so now we're back to the beginning where we said that there's this harp that's above David HaMelech's bed. The Urim V'Tumim is a Yasser. It doesn't even give a pasuk to prove that Yasser is on the Urim V'Tumim because we know that Yasser was the Kohen Gadol. Notably, when Shlomo was appointed, part of his job was to take Yasser out of the Kohen Gadol position. And until then, under David's reign, Yasser was as the Kohen Gadol. And Kohen Gadol holds the Urim V'Tumim. There's no other reason why the Kohen Gadol would be called on to ask for war. He's not an advisor and he's not the Sanhedrin. His job is more spiritual stuff. The only reason why would be to ask the Urim V'Tumim, which that he wears on his chest. So that's only he'd be able to ask. Well, only It can only be asked when he's present. So, Amar of Yitzchak Rav Dimi, Mikra, we said that David HaMelech had this harp. What's the pasuk that shows this? Uruch Vaydi Urahaneva Lachina or Ira Shachar. The pasuk says, wake up, up my honor, wake up my kavod, my soul. Wake up, a lyre and a harp will wake up up the morning. In fact, it says, we will wake up the dawn, rather than and we will wake up by dawn. It means that they woke up before dawn. Before dawn being in the middle of the night. The Bnei Yadasa explains that that what's going on over here is David HaMelech is on the level of the moon, while his son Shlomo is on the level of the sun. If you notice, the name Shlomo has letters Moshe in it, plus Lamed. So with David HaMelech, the Chacham are saying, Amcha Yisrael, your nation in the Jews, rather than just the Jews, because under David HaMelech, they're only, they like the moon, they don't have of their own, they need to go out for others. And Begashmias, that showed that they needed to go out and fight wars in order to get, sustenance. In Shlomo HaMelech's times, silver was like nothing, because they were like the sun, both Begashmias and Berachnias, they had everything from their own. So now the Gemara continues on a new subject. Tanur Rabbanan, Minayin Shema Midim Shaitin Lisrael, how do we know that we're supposed to appoint judges for the Jews? Talmud Lomar Shaitin Titan. The pasuk says Shaitin Titan. You should appoint judges. Shaitin Lisrael Main, what about officers to enforce the law? Talmud Lomar Shaitin Titan and establish officers. Shaitin L'chol Shaitin V'Shaitin Main, what about our judges? Is we know they're judges for an entire Jews. What about for each Shevet? Talmud Lomar Shevtim L'Shvutecha. Judges for your Shvatim. Shevtim L'Chal Shevet Shevim Nayim. What about the officers? Talmud Lomar Shevtim L'Shvutecha. Officers for your Shevet. Shevtim L'Chal Irvi Irm Nayim. What about for each city? Judges. Talmud Lomar Shevtim L'Shvutecha. It says, Shreftim Shreftim Tetan Chabachal Sha'aracha. Shreftim L'chal Ibnayin, and Tamil Lamb are Shreftim Sha'aracha. Same with his officers, it says, as your gates. And Rabbi Yehuda Amar Asma Manal Kolan, Rabbi Yehuda said there was one person in charge of all of them, Shnemar Titan L'cha, you should give it for yourself, singular. The people of Binyamin argued in the story of Plagish Begiva. The story of Plagish Begiva, in short, a lady, he got angry at his concubine, and she fled. She fled to her father's house. He went after her to get her back. They stopped on their way back in the town of Giva. They were closer to Yerushalayim, but at the time Yerushalayim was under red Kanani control, so they instead stopped by Giva and Binyamin, and over there an old man and welcomed them in and told them to be careful because there's a violent gang who would take them, and what wouldn't take the newcomers kindly. Indeed, the gang heard about the newcomers and knocked on the door, demanding in the old man hand them the cup. The lady got afraid and sent out his concubine to them. The people, this gang from Gibbo, was satisfied with that and abused her in a variety of ways. Left her half dead by the door. She, by the time the morning came and they opened the door, she was dead. The lady cut her up into 12 pieces, and each of those pieces to eat one shave at a Jews, and demanded that Gibbo gets judged for that these hoodlums from Gibbo get judged according to what they did. Indeed, the Shvatim came to demand justice, but the people from Yemen argued this. Mitzvah b'shevet ladin shevtai. It's a mitzvah for each shevet to judge their own shevet. These are our hoodlums, we'll take care of them. The other Shvatim argued, and no, this wasn't just, well, all the hoodlums were from Binyamin. The attack that they did was against the Shevet Levi. They did an international crime, an inter-Shevet crime, so it deserved to be judged inter-Shevetly. The arguments came to violence, and they had wars. The first two wars, Binyamin won, the Jews won, and Binyamin was almost wiped out. Long story short, they figured out how to they promised to not marry off their daughters to Binyamin. They later on regretted that. They didn't want Binyamin to be wiped out. They figured out on Tuba of how to avoid that promise, because they said men from us will not give. So that excludes their children and excludes if Binyamin takes themselves wives. And thus Tuba of became a celebration. So, all this argument started because of this halacha, that each shevet, it all started because these hoodlums, and even before that, because this man from Levi couldn't keep his temper in. It is a powerful lesson on the danger of the harm of anger. Now starts a new thing. The Gemara is talking about the original Sanhedrin, the original Zekanim in times of Moshe Rabbeinu. Tanur Rabbanan, Vayishur Shnei Anashim Machne. There were two men remaining in the camp. Eldad and Medad. After the 70 Zekanim were appointed, it said that there was two men left in the camp who were prophesied. And Yeshua says to kill them. Misha says halvai all Jews for being Nevi'im. So now I'm going to discuss this event. What's going on over here? So what was the history? Why were these two people here in the first place? So Yesh Emin Bilkalpi Nishtaidu. Some say they remained in the a lottery. It was a lottery of 72 names and 72 pieces of paper that said either Zakain or just blank piece of paper, as it's going to explain. So 70 people picked their name and picked Zakain or blank. These two, they didn't trust their own Zakain, so even though two other people had already picked blanks, they didn't pick, and so they didn't become Kaden. When Hashem told Moshe, gather me 70 people, Mizknei Yisrael, Amar Moshe said, Ketzad Esa, what should I do? Ever above Mikol Shevet V'Shevet? Should I choose 6 people from each Shevet? Nifzu Shayim Zedim. That equals 72. That equals 60. So which one should I do? 60 or 72? So what did he do? Beer shisha. So what should I do? Should I do 6 from most shvatim and 5 from 2? That will cause discord between the shvatim. They're not gonna be happy with each other. They're all gonna complain. And why didn't you choose 6 from us? No, so what did he do? Beer shisha. He chose those 6 from each shevet. Maybe shiva yishnayim piskin. And he brought 72 papers. Al shivim katav zakin. On 7, he wrote zakin ushnayim hiniyach cholak, and 2 of them he left blank. Balon he mixed them up in nasan bakalpi and put them in a lottery. Amalehem bayu tlu piskechem. Come take your papers. Komi shalav yada zakin, and any that had the paper that said elder, he said kvar ketchuk shemayim, heaven clearly chose you. Mishal biyadei chalak, if someone had empty in their hand, Amar, he said, Hamakem lechafes b'cha, Hashem didn't choose you, ani ma'atzalach, I'm sorry, but there's nothing I can do. As it happened, Elder the Maidan would have gotten his cane in papers, but they didn't, but they chose not to partake of the Gairal because they were afraid that they wouldn't be chosen.
People who have two
grants
became
king? Yeah.
Right.
This original 70s Canaan that Moshe Rabbeinu chose. He chose 72 people. 70 of them chose those papers, as it happened, and not all of them chose the papers with Canaan, but because Elder Medad would have become Canaan, but they didn't accept, they didn't want to try. Yeah. So, a similar kind of situation happened. Take 5 shkolim for each person to do the opinion from the Bechayim to the Levim. So the 5 shkolim, and similarly that's why we do opinion of Ben. There was 5 shkolim per person who did not get a change onto a Levi. So Amar Moshe, so Moshe said, "Kitzad Asa Lehem Liyisrael. What should I do? The Bechayim needed to give the kedusha to the Levim. So as it happened, there was 500 Bechayim more than the Levim. There was 22,000 Levim, and there was 22,500 Bechayim. So Moshe said." What should I do for the Jews? If I ask any Bechor to give the 5 shkolim, and then go out, he'll tell me, Kvar Pedini ben Levi. A Levi already redeemed me. So what did he do? He brought 22,000 in papers, Mechatzvale and ben Levi. And wrote to Ben Levi. Val Vesha and Gimel, Katavalin and Chemesh Shkolin. Sorry, it was 273. 22,273 Bechayim. So, Balon Benassin Makalpi, he mixed them up and put them in a raffle. Amalhan, Tlup is Kechem. He told them, take your papers. Mishal biyadei ben Levi, Amalek v'adach ben Levi. Someone who got a Levi said, okay, you're good to go. Mishal b'adach ben shkolim, if someone got a paper that said, 5 coins, or like the 10 pinyach of a tag. He told him to give your give the 5 coins and then you'll go. He did the lottery between all the Bechayim. The 5 coins go to the Kayan. Or to the lady, went to Mishra, technically. The pastor says, and then you should take. Nowadays, we give it to the Kayan, because, well, in place of Mishra, but, so that's one opinion, that they were remaining in the paper. The Eldon and Maidon were remaining in the papers. Rabbi Shimon, however, said, "B'machne nishtayru." They were remaining in the camp. Meshach Amar LeAkash Baruch LeMeisha, when Hashem told Meisha, "Esli Shivim Ish," gather 78 people. Amar Eldon and Maidon admit, they said, "Ein anu ra'iyim la'isa gvela." We're not worthy of such greatness. What? Yes, yeah, Reb Shimon and saying that that Eldon and Medad said this. Yeah, in general, when Sam Reb Shimon and Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, I should talk about this. Like by Mer. So, America is Baruch Hu. So Amrael did a maidad in an area, and I said, the maidad said, "We're not worthy of such greatness." They were humble. They didn't want to accept such greatness. The Amrakash Baruch Hashem said, "Hail me at Matz Mechem, since you made yourselves humble, since you made yourselves small, Hainim Meitzak Gdol Al Glachem, I'll make your greatness greater." Umagdol Hetif Lehem, what greatness did they get? Shenavim Kolam Nisnabu Ufasku. All other Nevi'im in this case referring to the other Zakenim, they had the Nebuah and then they stopped their Nebuah. The Nebuah went through Moshe Rabbeinu, and so when they weren't with Moshe Rabbeinu, they didn't have Nebuah anymore. They Nisnabu V'lei Pasku. And they prophesied and did not stop. Their prophecy was not directly through Moshe Rabbeinu. There are Jews, and everything is through, it was Nazi, but it's not as the, like, yeah. They had it more directly through Hashem, M2.
Why didn't they kill him?
We're going to see. My Nebu and Nisnabu, what was the Nebu that they gave? Amru Meisha Meis Yeshua Machnes is Yisrael Aris. They said that Meisha is going to die and Yeshua is going to bring the Jews into Eretz Yisrael. According to that opinion, it's very obvious why they want why Yeshua wanted them dead. How dare you give such a nevuah? And that's indeed the explanation that Rashi gives on the pasuk. Abachanan Amir Meshum Rebbe Eliezer Abuchan says the name of Rabbi Yezer, Ali Slav Slav, him is Sabin. They prophesied about the Slav and said, Ali Slav, Ali Slav. That Slav is going to fall, basically. As it did in Baal Ischa. And as it did soon after this. Rav Nachman Eimer, Ali Skei Goy Gemogig, him is Sabin. They were prophesying about Goy Gemogig. They were prophesying about the distant future, about by Mashiach come. About by Mashiach. Shnemar, as the pasuk says, Kayam Hashem Emelikim, so says Hashem, Ha'atahu Asher Dibarti Beyamim Kadmainim, you are who I'm talking to about something that I talked about in the early days, Biad Ad Avdi in Nevi'i Yisrael, in the hands of my servants, the Nevi'im of the Jews, Hanevi'im in Beyamim Haim, Amen, who are prophesying in those days, is Shanim Lahavi Aleim. Amen, Shanim Lahavi Aleim. To bring. Basically, it's in the book about Gog and Magog that he's saying that I'm going to bring Gog and Magog that I prophesied in the early days is it that said the prophecy in the early days that it's going to be. I'll take a shrine in Elishnayim, read it as two. Then read it as years, read it as two. Ezeim shrine, Ishnayim Nevi'im shrine, Snabu Perak Achad, Nebuah Achas. Where do we see two Nevi'im that gave the same Nebuah at once? Normally that doesn't happen. We see Evi Achav and Yehoshaphat, when they went into the war where Achav died, they went to ask the Nevi'im what to do. The Nevi'im, all the false Nevi'im, gave the exact same Nebuah. Go, you're going to succeed, you're going to have victory. And Yehoshaphat says, Nevi'im don't give the same Nebuah. Every Nevi gives a different Nebuah. And so they found one Navi, a true Navi, who said that Achav is going to die in battle. Point being here, though, that there is a time where two Nevi'im are giving one prophecy, Elder Medad. So what's the prophecy? So clearly, that prophecy has to be that this thing that's saying in Shnayim, that I gave the prophecy to, have him Elder Medad. What Elder Nemeda were prophesied. Interestingly, Targum Yonasan on the pasuk takes all three approaches, says that Elder prophesied that Moshe is going to pass away, Medad prophesied about Slav, and together they prophesied about Gog and Magog. Alright, Amar, and Vim, Colin Vim called Nisnabu Pasku, Vahim Nisnabu Vlad Pasku. All the Vim gave their Nebuas and stopped, they gave their Nebuas and did not stop. Now in the Pasku, how do we know that they stopped? Even Midachsev and Nisnabu Vlad Yasfu, if it's because the Pasuk says about them that they gave Nebuas, and it says about the 70s of Canaan that they gave Nebuas and did not at Yasfu. Which seems to mean they did not continue. Elamata, call God of Lo Yosef. The Torah was given with a loud voice that did not stop. So Achanami delay Yosef. This also means that it did not continue. That's a loud voice that did not continue. Who El delay Pasak? Who? It means that a loud voice did not stop. Maybe does is getting also continued prophesying. Alahachak say by Snabu. Rather, the proof is the pasuk says here it says and they prophesied Hakam say misnabim. There it says by the kingdom says and they prophesied over here it says they are prophesying. Active tense. Adayim misnabim v'hocham. They're continuing to prophesy. So now to your question, Bishlam Alaman Damar Mesha Maitan Dukhsiv Adin Mesha Klav. The one then they said that they prophesied the Mesha dying, that's why Yeshua is saying and kill them. Alaman Damar Hanachtarti, according to other reasons, my Adin Mesha Klav. Why destroy them? Klav means destroy them. So why destroy them? The Gemara says, Lav Erech Ar, it's not proper for them to have been giving Nevuah. It's like giving the book like a student teaching halacha before their teacher. There's a rule that a navi has to give in the book. If Hashem gives a navi in the book, then they have to give it over. So one possibility that one of the Hashem gives. Is that's only if it's a nevuah to warn someone to do tshuva or something like or something similar to that. Over here, it's not a nevuah. It's just telling future events. It's not just a nevuah of that's necessarily requires giving over. So therefore, they shouldn't have given it over. What? What? Doesn't the VM most most of the Nevi'im, all of the Nevi'us are giving over some information that's needed for us. That's a tell us the trip. Because Eldad and Medad were doing it in front of Moshe Rabbeinu. All these other Nevi'im, they were either the greatest in their generation or they... Oh, the other 70 were getting it from Moshe Rabbeinu, as I said before. There was a temporary because they only got it from Moshe Rabbeinu, and therefore it lasted while they were in front of Moshe Rabbeinu. Eldad and Medad were having their own separate string of Nevi'ah, and therefore it's like a Talmud teaching his own halacha in front of a teacher, as opposed to other 70 who were more like a Meturgamon who was in his rights to speak in front of his teacher and is in fact doing his job when he's speaking in front of his teacher. And Bishlam al-Mandam ha-Nachtarti ha-Nachtiv mi-Yitin. According to the other two opinions, that's why Moshe says, as a halavai, all Jews should be Nevi'im. Al-Mandam ha-Moshe Meis, according to the opinion that they prophesied the Moshe is going to die, Menach ha-Nichalei, hey, is he really so happy that everyone's giving Nevi'ah? The Gemara says, "Laifiyur Simu Kamei." They didn't finish the message before Moshe. The Ben Yehuda explains that what they said is they're prophesying that you're going to die. So Moshe says, "How about all people shouldn't be in VM?" Yeah, they're giving a nevuah that's negative to me, but the rule is a negative nevuah can be overturned. So I'll just dive in and go into the land. What they did not finish is the continuation, and Yeshua will bring them into the land. That's a positive nevuah. A positive nevuah does not go back. Without knowing that's what they prophesied, that therefore there's no way this Xer is going back. Moshe Rabbeinu is not going into the land. He thought he was happy. He was a halavai all Jews from Nevi'im. And finally, my klum, what does it mean, destroy them? It's not actually kill them. Amalei hata aleim sechet tzibur. They'll put them in public positions, v'him kolam aleim. And they'll be destroyed by themselves. The Gemara tells us that nevuah requires joy. Put them in public positions and make them politicians. And, they'll be gone on their own. Or the Ben Yehuda explains that another alternative of what's going on here is not that they'll be destroyed on their own, but that they'll go back to being part of this chain of getting nevuah straight from Moshe Rabbeinu, like the others came in, being in a public position. Today's a Shiach Gedola. At the beginning of creation, it says, "As a Baruch Elokim Rechatz Apnei Mayim," Hashem's spirit was blowing over the water. And the Medrash says that the Ruach Elokim is referring to the Ruach Mashiach. Only after this Ruach, it says, and Hashem said, "Yihyar," there should be light. That shows us that even before light was created, there was already a Ruach Mashiach. And a quick halacha. The following rules apply when someone sees a tzitzit which a fellow Jew is wearing has become disqualified. If the person is standing in a place where he must remove the talis, the onlooker should not tell him of this until he reaches home. Because of Fredabrius, one should not spare him from a dievet. However, one must immediately call him out. One should immediately call him, tell him to come home immediately, and there he should tell him to take off the talus. A similar ruling applies in a situation where a person who is wearing talus is not required to move it, but must hurry home to do so, as stated above, in Eis Dalid, in Halach Dalid. When it observes the difficulty, you must observe. We must tell him to hurry home and remove the deer.
Sorry, how's your